Thank you once again for tuning in with Riding Right with the Raiders. As always, God bless America and God bless Texas. I'm Kevin Allen with my host,
Caleb Jensen.
And today we have a special guest with us, a former Texas Tech SGA senator and an alumni, Andrew Sinclair. Andrew, welcome back to Texas Tech.
Thank you all so much for having me. Happy to be here.
How's your time been since graduating Tech?
It's been a lot of fun. Job market is not the best for any of us, no matter what we do. But you know, managed to luck my way into getting the Texas House. Had an internship briefly at a lobbying firm before going over, and then worked this most recent legislative session. And so things have been pretty good.
That sounds like a productive and well-accomplished springboard right out of college.
Definitely. Probably on the more productive end of a lot of people coming out of college with a political science degree. A lot of people kind of think you can only go to law school or be a history teacher with a poli sci degree. So, you know, doing a little bit different.
That's great to hear, man. It's always good to hear when your Texas Tech alumni go on to do great things, and we look forward to seeing what happens here in the near future with you and your career and academic future as well. On this episode, we're going to talk about a few different topics with Mr. Sinclair here. Senator Richard says to tell you hello while she's competing in pageants.
Well, you can tell her I say hello as well, and good luck in her pageant.
All right, let's talk about recapping the Texas legislative session. Was this your first time being a part of something like that?
Yeah, this was my first session. Very, very different from how DC is. While I was in college, interned on the federal side, usually doing district work. But my last semester, one of my last semesters at Tech, I interned up in DC, so I kind of got to see that firsthand. And so I didn't really know what to expect coming into to Texas. I didn't know the big issues. Obviously, you know, it's a lot different. It's focusing on a lot more local. You're focusing on things like water. You're focusing on things like energy. You're having to deal with, just these very local issues that aren't going to make national headlines on Fox News or CNN, stuff like that. So it was really a lot different, but it was different in a very good way. I liked it a lot.
Were there any big wins, in your opinion, or losses for conservatives in this session that you would note?
To me, I think that this session can be looked at in many different ways, but to me personally, I think this was a very successful session. I think the Republicans got a lot of things done. I think that there's a lot of noise on the outside and online from, you know, different groups of people that might not be very happy with the things that we got accomplished. But, you know, things that you kind of get from the inside, it's just like, you know, there's a lot of wheeling and dealing that goes into things. You know, you can't just be like, all right, we're going to go ahead and abolish property taxes, and then, you know, magically property taxes are gone. You know, I wish it was that easy. With some things, we have to propose constitutional amendments for that. And, you know, we got to work with the Democrats on that. So can't exactly get the most conservative legislation we want passed out, because there obviously has to be some compromises. But, you know, I think we had a lot of big wins. Some of the biggest property tax cuts in history. We also finally passed school choice. I think that's a really big win. You know, I'll be interested to see how that goes. It was a pretty controversial topic, and even had the Republican party split a little bit there. You know, there was talks for a little bit that, a couple of the more purple county people, or, you know, a little bit more, you know, moderate Republicans were thinking about maybe defacting and, you know, calling for this to be a public vote on the ballot in November or whenever. And so there was a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of things that didn't get passed that, you know, wish we could have gotten passed. But I think overall, this was a very successful, you know, I think it's considered one of the most conservative sessions in history.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot of stuff that just the general public does not know. And I think in some ways it's better that way, because if you tell them everything, you know, I spoke with David Lowe about this, Rep. David Lowe. It would take forever to go through every single page in the documents and read them out loud, get everyone on the same page. If we had to do that with the general public and keep them updated while moving through session, it would never end. And so I think we should just be glad that a lot of stuff got done and look for it as it comes out. Lubbock does a really great job of publishing and showing all the different bills and things that have come out, what is passed, new policies, and I think a lot of that does end up lost in the noise. What was your experience coming in and working under someone as to what role did you play this session?
Yeah, so like I said, I didn't really know what to expect coming in. Only had seen the federal side, so I was honestly coming in blind. So thankfully, my time at the lobbying firm kind of helped me get prepared for session. So I was working on like the last couple months from October to January or October to February, kind of gearing up for session. So I was kind of playing catch up with, okay, what happened last session? What are kind of these big things to expect for this session? So I was able to kind of come in when I finally made it over to the building, kind of come in and hit the ground running. So I worked as a legislative aide. I don't know if I should say who I worked for or not. I'll probably just refrain from saying that. That way no opinions get confused. Just clarity's sake, all opinions my own. Don't represent anybody in the Texas House, anything like that. But I worked as a legislative aide. So, you know, I was doing things like handling different policy areas. I was driving around my representative. I was acting as an errand boy sometimes. I would help out with scheduling if we needed it. Just, we have a lot smaller staffs in the Texas House, so you're kind of a jack of all trades. So you don't really have one specialty unless, you know, you're the chief of staff. So like our chief only handled our committee that we were the chair of. But that, other than that, you know, my LD and I were splitting like 12, 13 policy areas each. So you kind of have to have a little bit of knowledge over everything, and you'll learn as you go as well.
Great. That's great to hear. I don't think they realize, you know, yes, legislation in Texas will always matter, but there is a complete contrast as to what happens at the Capitol versus when you're in D.C. And I think a lot of people think that, you know, whatever D.C. does, Texas can do. We can do a lot of things, but it doesn't exactly work the same. It's a completely different level of legislation. How would you describe the political landscape in Texas right now with the Republican Party having just come out of legislation?
Yeah. Obviously, I would love to say that I think the Republican Party is unified and ready to move forward, but unfortunately, that doesn't seem to be a case. There seems to be a lot of infighting right now. You know, the Republican Party of Texas is going after the members that didn't vote with the caucus for the speaker race. They are not very happy with a handful of those members that helped get Representative and Speaker Burrows up to that speaker position. So, you know, they're pushing out these censure resolutions and trying to primary these people. So, you know, it's a little unfortunate that we're kind of getting lost on you're not being conservative enough, rather than maintaining a conservative majority. Because, you know, the DFW area, there isn't too many Republicans in, like, main city of Dallas. Like, city of Dallas, there's only two elected Republicans left. And, you know, at some of these meetings, they're pushing hard to get these guys out. And, you know, while you might have established incumbents, they're wanting to put in a, like, a quote-unquote more conservative person in these positions. And they might not win in a purple district, but to them, that doesn't matter as long as they're winning in the primary. So, you know, I just think that the Republican Party of Texas kind of needs to take a step back and, you know, think about what's good for the state of Texas and what's going to be good for, you know, America overall. I mean, I don't think that this is going to result in us losing the Republican majority in the House or anything dramatic like that. But, you know, a couple of these seats, if we drop them, we might not get them back. You know, unless there's some redistricting involved, but it's just the way things go. So I would say that the political landscape, if the Republican Party can kind of reunite, you know, work out a little bit of differences regarding, you know, the speaker race or any sort of other votes they might have not have been too happy with, I think that once we get unified, we'll be in a stronger state. You know, we've got a great governor passing great conservative legislation. You know, Dan Patrick, love him or hate him, he did a pretty good job this legislative session, I would say. You know, we've got a good thing going, and you know, I think we just kind of need to kiss and make up, so to speak. You know, we got a great Representative Burroughs is a great speaker. You know, he comes out of Lubbock. There's a lot of people that, you know, want to call him like a Democrat or whatever, but it's like these people have never been to Lubbock. They don't know that a Democrat's not going to get elected in a statewide position or like that high of a position in Lubbock. Maybe a city council seat, but definitely not like a state rep or even a state senator position. So, you know, I think it's time to step back, smell the roses, reevaluate session as a whole, and be like, you know what? It really wasn't that bad with them. You know, Representative Cook is a great person and probably would have made a great speaker as well, but, you know, Representative Burroughs was an established chairman of multiple committees. Obviously, I think he was the best person for the job. So I think we'll be in a good spot if we can kind of just reunite with both sides, the grassroots and sort of the establishment.
Yeah, that's one of my biggest gripes, and I'm a conservative Republican is how I identify, or a Christian conservative Republican. In my opinion, you know, it's one thing when you have a pissing contest, is what I call it, between Republicans and Democrats. It's another when it's Republicans and Republicans with each other, and that is setting yourself up to fall apart. You know, complacency is one thing, but that self-destruction mentality, I think we need to get past that. And that's why it gives me hope to see young conservatives such as yourself and others. I have a friend named Sonia. I think you've met her before. And I have other connections, Francisco. I could write a list that I really admire and respect for choosing the path they have taken, because I do think it's going to be this what I call next gen Republicans, next gen conservatives that really step up and start putting the party and a lot of policies in place that keep Texas, Texas, so to speak.
I think that there's a lot more unity with kind of like the younger generation of these conservatives. You know, in the if you go up to DC, you look here in Austin, most of your staffers are in their 20s or early 30s. So, you know, the future really is young conservatives. And so, you know, that's why like these organizations, Young Conservatives of Texas, College Republicans, Turning Point USA, Young Americans for Liberty, they're all doing like really great things nationwide trying to get the youth involved. Because the more youth we get interested in working in politics, the more, you know, we're gonna be able to kind of get rid of these complaints that, oh, you know, we've got 80-year-olds running the country. It's like, well, maybe we can start getting a couple more Gen Z, you know, maybe the younger of Gen X up in there or millennials. But yeah, I definitely think that the younger generation is kind of a lot more unified, and so I think that you'll start to see a shift over these next couple years and next couple elections of a little bit more on the same page, stop worrying about these minute differences between things. I think you'll start to see a lot more unity as well.
Yeah, I completely agree, because that's one thing I've definitely noticed politically is your younger generation, they're tired of the fighting, They're tired of the he said, she said, or I could do it better, so and so could do it better. Just get in there and get the job done and stick to your guns and do it. Like, if you don't, we're going to get in and get the job done for you. I mean, that's plain and simple. And that's slowly happening. We've seen young Republicans elected. Caroline Farley is a good example. She got elected, got in. That's a, if you're a young Republican or a young conservative, look right there. There's proof something is going on. Kind of looking ahead, what do you think some of the biggest challenges and opportunities are for Texas conservatives when it comes to younger generations and shaping the future for voters?
It's a good question. I think that, we just kind of need to keep pushing this next generation to get interested and get involved. College campuses, even high school campuses now, it's starting to trickle down. Just getting kids involved, getting kids interested, getting them out there, helping out with campaigns, just anything you can do. I think that'll kind of lead to just a more sub or even bigger red wave over the next couple of years, because obviously we've seen trends. Young men are trending more and more conservative by the year. Obviously, there's a big split between young men and young women, but I think that a lot of this younger generation, regardless of political ideology, is extremely interested. And I just think we need to keep pushing that. Obviously, we want a more conservative younger generation, but I think ultimately for the good of the nation, young people should just be involved, get interested no matter what. And I think that we'll start to see more of these younger conservatives elected, younger representatives elected all across the nation, even in Texas. It makes it a little bit hard, with the pay structure wise in Texas, for representatives, for younger people to get involved. Obviously, they don't get paid much. Obviously, it was founded that way. It was supposed to be that this wasn't supposed to be your full-time job. We don't want full-time career politicians. And so, might, instead of lining their pockets, they're in there for the right reasons. So, I definitely understand why it's in place, but there is a big financial barrier to trying to get in. You're not making too much money during session, and you kind of have to be seemingly independently wealthy, or at least have a higher paying job on the side, like a lawyer or a doctor or something, to where you can step away from a couple months and still be okay. Dual income, two high paying jobs in the house, stuff like that. I think if maybe there was some sort of fix with that, I think we could definitely see a rise earlier of younger conservatives. But we saw a lot of trial lawyers kind of come in who were conservatives this session. And I think that there's a lot of people wanting to go to law school, get involved with like the law aspect of things, and then maybe even make the transition over. So I think that it's looking up. I just think that there can be a little bit more done to kind of incentivize the youth, or to help out the youth who really want to get in there and make a change.
I personally think that, I don't know about you guys because I grew up in New Mexico and at public schools we had classes of government almost every school we went to in almost every grade we had a government's class that was tied into our history classes. It would just go over what the president does, what the legislative branch does, what the judicial branch does, all that stuff. And I think we need to start incorporating that back into school and basically saying, younger generations, this is what the government does. This is what we do. This is basically everything you need to know about government. And here's the two parties. Based on your beliefs and your family values, you can pick a side once you turn 18. And in a way, I personally feel like we need to incorporate that back into school and enforce into schools again.
Incorporate it into schools. Yeah, I don't, because I only went to the fifth grade as a kid because I was sick. I don't remember learning about political sides till about 15 or 16. And that was just from watching the news. I never heard much about it. I've never really considered that aspect to it, but it's not a bad idea to kind of teach them while they're young. I mean, there is a thing going on with Republican orgs in high school and getting these teenagers, teaching them about conservative principles, Republican values and principles. So that is happening slowly. I would like to see more of it. Sinclair, what's your take on all that?
Yeah, I mean, we really only got one pure government class, and that was for one semester of your senior year, usually split with economics. Obviously, it might your political class, or not your political, your history classes will dabble into it from time to time. You know, as you get to your later years of history up in high school, you know, maybe take a dual credit or an AP, it'll get up to your modern day and you will start getting some political discussions. But, you know, the politics you're talking in these classes are from the founding of America, from the Civil War, these kinds of issues, which obviously there are still issues that are still going on today that were issues back in like the 1700s. You know, we still deal with things like, you know, in George Washington's farewell address, warning of political parties, warning of involvement in foreign wars, stuff like that. You know, these are still kinds of issues that go on today. You know, people have complaints with the two-party system. People have complaints with intervention in foreign conflicts. So, you know, I think that we should definitely add in a more like a more sort of mandatory credits for high school government and stuff like that. I think that state government as well should also be incorporated into like a main high school curriculum, because at least in Texas, maybe it's just my district, but I'm pretty sure just in Texas, it's not a required course to graduate to take Texas history. You know, we had to go do that on our own as a dual credit AP class. And I think that more people should know how their state legislature works. Obviously, you know, people might not really care that much, but it's a very important thing. I would have definitely appreciated a little bit more than a semester of learning how our Texas government works. You know, I knew all I needed to know about how our federal government worked. I was bit by the political bug early, you know, so I wanted to learn more about Texas, but only got a semester of it. So, you know, I definitely think we could benefit from a little bit more civics education, government specific education.
Yeah, so I'm from Lubbock. And at some point in my life, I went to South Plains College. And at South Plains College, I think they were one of the first ones in Lubbock to do this. And I could be wrong. It could have been tech. Wouldn't surprise me. But I got offered to be one of the first students to take a Texas government class. That has been my favorite class as a college student that I have ever taken. I learned a lot of valuable information in that class that you don't get taught it. Even if you want your GED, there's some history kind of there. It doesn't get taught. It doesn't get talked about. People don't know. And that's a big problem. People do not realize how their state governments work. I don't know about other states, but I know here in Texas, that is a huge problem. And I would love to see that addressed some point. I'm definitely going to talk to Ashley Cash about that. I'm supposed to have a meeting with her in a few days, so that'll be something interesting to kind of knock the door on.
In New Mexico, in high school and middle school, we had to take New Mexico history classes that basically started from before we were a state and how we became a state and up to current events. And then I also have to agree with Kevin that I also took a Texas government class here at Tech, and it was by far one of my favorite classes so far, because what was even cooler about it is it was taught by a Australian woman, and she had worked for Border Patrol and then became a professor here at Tech, and She has by far been one of my favorite instructors, and I run into her every once in a while, but I definitely missed that class. It was one of my favorites.
Yeah, obviously I know it's a required course for graduation from college to take it, in Texas at least, but I definitely think we should incorporate it more on the high school level. Like, you learn about Texas history, why can't we learn more about Texas government?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. So you were at Texas Tech for a while. Did you ever get involved locally, interact with the GOP, Lubbock Area Republican Women, or Conservative Action Network?
Yeah, I got involved with a couple of those. I never got formally connected with the Lubbock GOP, but I did help out with a couple of events with the Lubbock Area Republican Women, running Turning Point USA on campus. I was the president of it. I was able to kind of build my network within like local politics there in Lubbock. Anytime they hosted an event, I would get a text from a couple of the ladies in the Lubbock Area Republican Women, be like, "Hey, we're having this event. Donald Trump Jr.'s coming. Can you round us up a couple of volunteers?" So I'd be like, "Of course." And so I'd spread a message out, get a couple of our people together, and we'd show up. Usually they would always take care of us as well. I got to meet Donald Trump Jr., so I mean, that was awesome. Got to sit down and eat my dinner at Carl Tepper's table. So, they do a lot for us. A lot of the behind the scenes stuff that people don't really know. I wish I could have got a little bit more involved with the city of Lubbock politics. I took a city government class my last semester on campus physically, and that was probably one of my favorite classes. I love learning about the government systems that I still don't know about. I took a comparative politics class and we kind of learned how different government systems around the world operated and stuff like that. So, just government in general has always been fascinating for me, and I really enjoyed that. Obviously, like I said, I ran Turning Point USA, so that got me involved locally with a couple of things. It got very well connected with Representative Burroughs' staff. I helped out. My first thing that I ever did was I helped out at a Greg Abbott event at the Cash family home, and there I met Representative Burroughs, Speaker Burroughs is district director, and he became a great contact for me. I made sure to stay in contact with him. He stayed in contact with me. Anytime they had door knocking opportunities available around Lubbock, he would text me. I would spread the word to my organizations that I would run. Through that, I got connected with the Cash family as well, and always helping out with them. Then I got involved with the Arrington team. And I would go and I would help out for with their God's Country banquets here in Lubbock. And eventually I went and interned for them. I interned up in Ronnie Jackson's office. And I was commuting every Friday from Lubbock to Amarillo for an unpaid internship to go up there. So, there's lots of ways to get involved locally. And I mean, obviously, it'll involve some sacrifices. Would I have preferred to stay in Lubbock and not have to drive an hour and a half to Amarillo once a week for an unpaid internship? Absolutely. But I knew that that could be a step in the right direction for my future political career that I'd want. Because, and it definitely did. I learned that was my first taste of working in a congressional office. And then obviously, I got a lot more of an experience when I was able to work, full time and do a full time internship with the Arrington team in Lubbock. So, I did a lot while I was at school. I made the most of the kind of short time I was there. I went to community college my first 2 years. So, when I was in Houston attending Lone Star, I got involved with the Wesley Hunt campaign and I helped them out in the primaries down there in Houston. I helped out with Michael McCaul for one or two of his elections. When I was, still in high school, I got involved with the Republican Party of Texas, and I was doing door knocking for the Republican ticket up and down. So, there's always ways to get involved, and I would encourage everybody to do so.
You were at Texas Tech for a hot minute there, and you ran Turning Point USA. You got Charlie Kirk on campus, correct?
Yes, sir.
At what point did you take interest in student government association, and what did you learn from your own experience in SGA and becoming active at a college level?
Yeah, so I didn't know how to get involved with SGA. SGA's run a little weird at Tech. I'm mostly grateful for my time there, but it's run a little weird. It's kind of you got to know somebody to get in, and then you'll get on somebody's like ticket or whatever to support somebody's campaign. And it was very different. So I was grateful to know a couple of people who were involved in SGA, and so they got me connected with the people, and I showed up one day to the basement of a frat house, and that was where we had our first meeting for SGA, kind of setting the stage for the candidates who were going to run. And so yeah, it's I wish it was a little bit easier to get involved. Obviously, you can kind of run independently without the kind of overarching, setup of a, I forget what they call them, but
Blocks.
basically the blocks, yeah. So without a block, you can still get elected. It's just a little bit harder, and you just got to take a little bit more of an initiative to get your name out there. Stopping people like, "Hey, have you voted yet?" Like, and watching them put your name in, rather than having thousands of flyers handed out with your name on it and hoping, you get a couple of extra votes whenever these people are telling them. But other than it being a little bit difficult to get into, I thought it was, it was a mostly good time. I was a little disappointed that we couldn't really do a whole lot to actually kind of, make a change on campus. I personally really enjoyed Tech. I love Texas Tech. I didn't have really any complaints with how Tech is run. Obviously, I know you feel a type of way, Kevin. But but I really enjoyed it, and I met a lot of good people there. I made a lot of cool friends there, people who I might not have talked to. A couple of the foreign exchange students from Africa, they were really cool, and they were some of my favorite people that I met in SGA. I made good connections that ended up leading me to joining my fraternity at Texas Tech. So it really provides a lot of good opportunities to get involved on campus. And the title of like Student Government Association, Student Senator, it really adds a lot to a resume, especially if you maybe are working full time and you don't really have the luxury to be able to do internship after internship. Getting involved on just college level activities definitely helps a lot, and something like SGA does as well.
It's, and I agree there. And this isn't against Texas Tech. This is just a personal political view. I understand that at different levels of government, you get slates and all that, but there's a thin line between that and then you get into collusion and stuff. And in my opinion, the block system just makes it so hard for independent conservatives. I don't care what political background you're from, the it makes it very hard to gain visibility, and that's a very important thing. And that was something that even I struggled with. I didn't get in with sororities, but I had people on the inside talking to their sororities about me, having meetings with them. I went to frat houses, and they would get all the guys. We'd go in the basement, Thought I was going to be sacrificed, but
Oh no,
they
those are
listen.
all fun.
Oh yeah, it's a lot of fun, and they're real nice. I mean, they offered to carry my medical bags. I was on a cane at the time, and they were really great people, active listeners. And then the student orgs. I contacted every student org I could, and sometimes I'd have an audience of five. Sometimes I had an audience of like 70. So it. And I would tell them about issues that were important to me, whether it was public safety, student safety, having better cameras. I think, I like that students get the right of way here, but in my experience, I've had people fly up on me with Lime scooters, and I've barely missed running over them. And, in Texas, unintentional manslaughter is a law, and I would hate to see that happen to a student, especially when we're that close to university. And there's other little things. And somehow or another, I did get elected, but man, it was a fight. We were having to put stuff out constantly on social media, having a network. And then for reasons unknown to me, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles invaded Texas Tech campus and we had green smoke and fire popping up out of the ground.
Oh.
That was a fun. Did you even see that during session?
I saw the posts about that. I was like, what happened? I left and everything, you know, everything went to shit.
That's quite literally. It was in, and I was on campus that day. And yeah, it eventually got evacuated, but initially it was just like, hey, we're closing down. Can't tell y'all why, but y'all got to get out of the building.
Early spring break.
Basically.
COVID all over again. Early spring break. Awesome. And then you're not coming back.
Yeah, the first thing I thought was like, oh crap, who messed up? Because the lights did flicker, so I was like, oh, well, someone who blew a transformer somewhere, well, wasn't just that.
From the rumors I heard, the walls of the tunneling system below Texas Tech sits right next to the chemistry building.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a feeling something happened in the chemistry building and it got into the tunneling system.
Who knows, man?
Yeah,
there could be
crazy.
Yeah, there could be anything there. You know, during your time as a student government or in student government at Texas Tech, did it shape your views or prepare you for real world politics at all?
Surprisingly, yeah. So Robert's Rules of Order, I did not pay attention whatsoever on like our little SGA retreat whenever the vice president or the internal vice president goes over everything. I was not paying attention at all. And I eventually kind of picked up on it, but it at least prepared me for what was going on inside of Texas politics, because, oh boy, do they use it. And they use it to the very extent. You know, never once did I hear a point of order called on anything in SGA. I don't even know how to properly call one. And then all of a sudden, like, day one, day two, points of orders are getting called. Like, the first day of bills on the floor, points of orders. And, you know, obviously they have a little bit different of a system there. And, like, parliamentarians obviously have a much larger role in, like, actual government than in student government. But it's just, like, I thought that aspect of things, I never thought it was really going to apply. But it actually was probably the most applicable thing. And then also kind of reading legislation and writing legislation, you know, SGA kind of uses the whereas, therefore kind of format, which is only really used for like congratulatory or like kind of like local resolution kind of stuff, not necessarily for big bills, but it did at least get me the idea of how to write legislation, what should legislation look like. So there are definitely aspects of it that were helpful. So I would definitely say so.
You know, it's interesting when you think about student government, and I have nothing against them or the people running it, but, you know, being involved, and this is, I know I'm already from a different generation, but I am involved politically, both the city level, state, so on. And I did my history research before I got involved. And back in the day, and when I say back in the day, how old is Roger Settler? Do you remember? He's in his 60s or 70s, so he'd have been in his 20s. So it was a long time ago. Texas Tech student government back then had a lot more say-so, a lot more pull, a lot more authority. And I think a lot of student governments in Texas originally did. And do you remember the gazebo outside?
The one that's kind of over by the free speech area outside of the sub.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's where originally the free speech stuff started. The students needed a place to get out and speak. And whatever was going on at the time, they couldn't do it. And this was a long time ago, so legislation had not come along the way that it has in recent years. And student government fought with the administration over that, and eventually it was agreed on that they could use the gazebo area for their free speeches and stuff like that. And it just kept evolving from there. And they had a lot of say in the parking and the tickets and the towing, and they could really get into even some of the financial stuff at Tech. So I don't know, because I haven't been in the session I was elected for. I don't know how much that has changed, but I have sat with the former alumni, and I don't know if you know this, but when there's like a big event at Tech, even if you were an SGA, the former alumni aren't even allowed to enter unless they're whoever's running it lets them. And even then, because Roger was an alumni, and there was some big singer that came here, and Texas Tech tried to tell him he couldn't be here, and the guy was like, no, he's on my list. And it caused an argument, so he was just like, whatever, just come back to my hotel room after the show and we'll hang out and catch up because we're friends from way back when. And so yeah, there's some changes I would like to see, but I don't know how limited they are anymore. But just looking at it and picking up from conversations with you, and with others, it almost seems like it's a completely different era for student government. And so that is something I would personally like to see change. And I get you just can't hand over the reins, right? You don't
Yeah,
want to do
obviously.
that. But I do think these are adults, they're young adults, they pay tuition to be here. Most of them know what they're talking about, especially when they got a bone to pick. Treat them as adults. Let them work as a government entity instead of the other. But that's getting into a whole lot of weeds at that point. So I'll learn, and I wanted to ask, did you have any misconceptions about the limits of power in SGA when you were getting involved?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely thought we were gonna be able to do like a little bit more than like we really could. Obviously, I know that like the president, like the actual like administration has a lot of power and they have a lot more connection one on one with like the tech administration and the faculty senate, stuff like that. So, I definitely know that that aspect of things, you kind of have a little bit more power, but just as a regular student senator, you really don't have too much power, at least from what I observed. Like, I know we tried to get a water fountain installed by like a pickleball court, and things were going good, and then Tech was like, it's gonna cost a little too much money, so no. And then it got shut down. So just like, you would think you'd be able to do something as simple as install a water fountain on campus somewhere, but gotta play by what the administration wants, and obviously, like you said, you don't want to hand over the reins completely to students, because everything would probably be free, honestly. If I had my way with it, I would have abolished TTU parking. Like, I had very many bones to pick with Texas Tech parking. Not a fan, not a fan. And
Yeah.
and so, I understand that there's finances and things that go into everything, and it's things aren't as simple as it seems. But I really wish that would have been a little bit more transparency as to like, okay, why can't we do a certain thing? Obviously, if you're working your bill with the administration and just trying to get an idea of like, is this even something that's possible? You definitely have a better shot at getting it, but like, If something is voted on unanimously by the student government that would genuinely improve student life on campus, I think that it should be given a little bit more consideration.
No, I definitely agree, because, you know, we are in a situation in Texas, and I don't know if you know this, but there have been situations, and I think Tech has passed some stuff. It doesn't get attention, it doesn't get picked up, doesn't get taken serious, nobody listens. And there's other stuff where it does. But in the state of Texas, we have seen universities try to sue their own student governments or try to go after them when they don't like something that they've passed, especially when they push to kind of enforce that because they feel that they have certain rights constitutionally and as that entity to help students. They have that servitude responsibility that you build as you get more and more involved in politics. And so I've often wondered if, you know, we're going through kind of an education reform. I've kind of wondered if higher education reform is just right there behind it, especially with the stuff we've seen from Donald Trump and the whole, what's that university that, not Princeton, but
Harvard
and all of that. Because, I mean, there's clearly some stuff that Republicans and conservatives do not agree with when it comes to colleges across the board. And I also know that from going to the Capitol, which I'm surprised we didn't run into each other, but I don't think you knew that I was there that day anyway.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think you might have hit all the West Texas offices.
Most likely. I mean, I hung out with Perla Hopkins, Mike Golubby. I don't remember the other legislators. I know we did not see Tepper, Burroughs, Perry, anyone local, but we saw people that were associated with those offices and some others that I think Ms. Rodriguez was able to pull for us. So aside from being a student, because not everyone's going to be a student, what would you suggest or what advice would you give to younger people or anyone that's wanting to start getting involved politically? Like, where would you point them?
Yeah. So obviously, if you have a university nearby you, whether you're a student or not, they are bound to have some political club, whether that's a YAL, whether that's a YAF, whether that's a Turning Point, whether that's a College Republicans or YCT, anything like that, you know, those are so easy to get involved in. And that alone opens up a lot of local community doors if the organization is run right, for sure. You know, if you're not by a campus or anything, you know, I would just recommend reaching out to, you know, your state representative. If you're lucky enough to have their office kind of close by you, ask just whoever's in that office if you can get coffee. You know, a relationship can be formed from just a cup of coffee. You know, that's something that I learned up in DC. You know, I would cold email staffers I've never even met before, asking them to meet for coffee. It's like going on a blind date. You know, we're just meeting, we're talking about what I've done, what they've done, any advice I would have, any advice they would have for me in my situation. I would recommend just reaching out to your local political officials. The city councilmen and your mayor probably aren't busy enough, at least if you're in a small town like Lubbock or smaller town, you're probably going to be able to get a hold of them a little bit easier than a city like, obviously, you're probably not going to be able to call up the mayor of Houston and ask him to get coffee with you, but I'm sure the chief of staff or somebody on one of the council members' teams would be more than happy to meet with you for 30 minutes or an hour or something like that. Looking up what local events are going on in your area, like West Texas Black Tie and Boots thing that was just there, you know, there's Lincoln Reagan dinners that'll happen. Young Republicans will have events going on throughout the state. Local campaign events and stuff. Those are all great places to meet local politically involved people. Just introduce yourself. You know, go up to them. Hi, you know, my name is so and so. I'm a student here, or I'm a young conservative looking to get involved in politics. What advice do you have for me on how to get started? Or how can I intern for you? How can I help out in your campaign? Stuff like that. Nobody's going to turn down free help for a campaign, that's for sure. So, you know, that's a great way to get started. Getting in on the campaign is super easy. You probably won't get paid originally, but sometimes you will. But the experience you'll get and the people you'll make, you can't put a price on that.
Is there anything you would like to see opportunity-wise for your younger conservatives, Republicans, and college students when it comes to opportunities?
I think a little bit more kind of involved, trying to work a little bit closer with the city or the state government, stuff like that would probably be cool. Like, getting to kind of organize a trip down to Austin, you know, for example, would have been cool. I didn't think about that as Turning Point president, but I saw that y'all did that. Y'all went down there as a collective group, and you went and you met with a couple people. And, you know, I definitely think that that is something that every organization should do. You should go. You should meet with your university area's representative. Go meet with your local congressman as well, like the U.S. congressman. Go up to their office and see who you can message with to schedule a meeting, maybe with the congressman, maybe it's with the staff, but, you know, any is just a good. So I think a little bit more involvement, you know, SGA has things where they'll have like Big 12 on the Hill or something like that, and they'll select a group of people to go and represent them up in D.C. or represent them down in Austin. And, you know, I wish that was a little bit more transparent on, you know, how to get kind of selected for that. I was in the InterGov committee, so if we were going to do that, we would have been the ones who are maybe a little bit better of a shot to get in. But, you know, it wasn't fully transparent on how you can do that. And then sometimes it just ends up being only exec, and there's nothing you can do about it. But I think a little bit more opportunities for students to get involved with their local political members, political representatives and stuff is really the best thing.
Yeah, that, and this is my opinion, I don't know if you agree with it or not, but I think there's kind of a bubble with what is actually going on politically in your city, with your GOP, with your elected officials for the city you're in, the state you're in. And there's just a lot of issues that I have found a lot of the students don't know because they don't have these relationships. They're not networked in. They're not interacting. Yes, they are doing their best and getting involved and building their resumes. But I think there is a point where if you're as serious as I am or Caleb or yourself, you need to be involved. That way you know what you're talking about. You know what's going on. You know a lot of the behind the scenes and can get past the smoke and mirrors that a lot of people get caught up in. You know, and even with the talking about the trips to Austin and the DC, I don't want to say too much here, but I do know that if you have a difference of opinion at this time and you're selected at different colleges, those students are not allowed to voice. They have a different agreement or perspective. They have to be at the behest of what the college wants them to agree and say with, or the student government. And there's some colleges where if you are elected into SGA, they can tell you, hey, you can't use your title no more, even if you won that election. Don't be putting it on social media and stuff like that. And that's some of the stuff I do take issue with, but and I'll address that at some point in the future. But I do think that we really need to get back to preparing these young men and women for the reality of how politics are. You know, I don't think that just because you're a senator in any student government, and if you use that and you're using it to help your local GOP, be you Republican, be you Democrat, whatever side you're on, I think if you're using that, you earned it, you won it technically in that election. Hey, you're doing good work. There is a point where you are representing the university in a very good way from your political constituent side. I don't think that it represents what all of SGA agrees with, which is what a lot of universities will tell the students. I think there's so many senators that each one of them has a population they represent, even though if you're at large, you're over it. It doesn't mean the rest of SGA agrees with it, but you have a voice. I don't think that Ted Cruz and Cornyn, when they give speeches, I don't automatically correlate the two together, or even with Perry, just because they share the senator title. You know, nobody in government is going to agree with each other. And I do agree that we really need to get past the fighting and come together as Republicans and conservatives and address a lot of these issues bottom up at civic, institutional, state, etc. If young Republicans are going to be successful. Is there anything kind of in that area that you might want to touch on before we start kind of wrapping things up here?
Yeah. Caleb, did you have something?
I had one thing.
Go for it.
That's kind of what we're doing with this podcast. We're kind of sticking it to the university and saying, you know, you kind of want to limit our free speech, and we're going to take our free speech and run with it, because you can't really take it away from us. And yeah, we have our First Amendment, but also with you being a previous senator at large, you still have...
So I'm still senator at large.
No, you can. I mean, personally, you can still use that title because you did put in the work, and they're trying to take that name away from you. And kind of what we're doing with this podcast is sticking it to them.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really have too many disagreements with anybody in SGA. Obviously, towards the end there, I did have a little bit of some issues with some people, but that wasn't really due to university thing. That was more of my own doing. But you know, I think that, I don't know. I mean, I never really had any issues with the university or with the SGA administration. You know, a lot of them were good friends or people who I became at least friendly with along the way. You know, I had a good friend group in there.
Yeah. And, you know, even with this podcast, really, we did it to show we could, because I'm sorry, but it's kind of like good luck getting rid of it. You know, Tech wanted to give me tickets for... There was a concealed carry issue, and concealed carry is concealed carry. Campuses will try to make their own policies, and I told them, I was like, if you write the ticket, I'm going straight to Speaker Burrow's office, and we're going to court. Okay, they back off. The other thing, you know, even when I'm registered with the school, and I have a, I'm right there with you on the parking authority and things. You know, even when I'm in the ADA parking, I've had them just, I don't know if they just don't scan or what the deal is, but they still write me a ticket when I am signed up. And I don't agree with the whole, hey, your things ran out, either take the ticket or re-sign up. You know, in my opinion, you pay tuition, that should be in the tuition. It shouldn't be an extra thing that they can go after and get money for at the cost of the student. Even the towing and the one parking garage, they're not very transparent. So there's a lot, and we'll sit down when you're in Lubbock, and I'll go over it. We'll go to dinner or something. But you know, I really want the conservatives and Republicans to know there's no reason to be afraid. SGA is not the SGA is not who I'm after. You know, I don't have a problem with them. I think there are some things that I don't agree with, and there's probably going to be a lot more things I don't agree with, but I'm willing to work with them. I'm willing to listen to them. You know, and I don't know all of them. I don't know face background. I don't know enough names to name other people. But I know pretty much the executive board, Bentley and them. I don't know them personally. I know who they are. Nothing against those people. But I do have a responsibility and work I'm involved in outside of the university that impacts universities in the state of Texas. And I think it's important to make that distinction that, hey, you know, I'm all for SGAs, but don't come after me for my work outside of the university, even if it relates to higher education, because then you're stepping into a muddy territory. And that's just kind of where I'm at on that. And I do agree with Caleb, but we'll see what happens this session. Caleb, you want to go ahead and ask Senator Sinclair the final question?
Of course. At the end of every episode, we ask our guests, what advice do you have for young conservatives and Republicans to start opening up about being politically active and trying to show what their party is and trying to show up to events like TCRs or YCTs or Turning Points, just to get the ice broken, because a lot of college students and a lot of young conservatives are afraid to actually open up and say, I'm a conservative, I'm a Republican. What advice do you have for them?
Yeah, I mean, kind of like you said, show up to these on-campus organizations. Your campus is bound to have one of them. There's a lot of them. And, you know, it's kind of like the new gay, sort of. You know, you got to come out as conservative. You know, you're coming out. But, but, you know, I just say, in your heart, you know you're right. You think that this is the best way for the country, the state, the city to be run based off of this specific platform. Don't be afraid to speak your mind. Don't be afraid to stand up for what you believe in. You know, even if everybody thinks you're crazy, even if everybody is, you know, hating on you for it, you know, if you're pissing a lot of people off, you're probably doing something right. That's kind of how I like to think about it. And, you know, work your way up in these organizations, get involved, help out at all these events, help out tabling, ask your local Republican women or, you know, local GOP how to get involved with them. Ask them if they have any events coming up. See how you can help out. Intern. I think internships are the most important thing to a career in politics. If you want to leave college and go work for the U.S. House or the Texas House, I would strongly, strongly, strongly recommend trying to get an internship somewhere, whether that be with the mayor's office, whether that be with the state representative, whether that be D.C., you know. If you take a semester off to go do an internship, like let's say in Austin during session or in DC, you know, that is going to teach you more about what you want to do than the classes you're going to be missing. That's going to delay you a little bit. Texas Tech is a great program. If you go to Texas Tech and you're listening to this and you want to get involved and you have a dream of going to DC or Austin and working, message Ronald Phillips. I love Ron. Ron is an amazing man. He's great, and he runs such a great program to get kids involved. It's the Government Public Service Internship Program. You know, I would reach out to him and look into how to do that, because going up to DC through that program was one of the most influential and informative parts of my political career so far. And, you know, I can't thank him enough for it. And I'll still message Ron. You know, he came to Austin for the Texas Tech Day and we got to catch up a little bit. So, you know, these people that you're going to meet along the way, maintain these connections, intern, get involved, and don't be afraid to speak your mind. And that's what I'll leave it at.
Yeah, I think, and you have a point. We do have a great program here. But along with that, I always say Lubbock is a great political training ground if you really want to get involved and see what's going on. Because a lot of the stuff that happens, you know, D.C. and at the Capitol, it happens here in Lubbock at a different level, mind you, but it still happens. And you'll learn real quick or smarten up real quick is how I like to put it. You know, where the conservatives actually are, what you represent, what your principles are, who your constituents are, your representatives, and getting out there and actually interacting with people will get you, you know, college will get you far. You don't need college to be successful. If you really want to go out there and do this, you can come from all sorts of different backgrounds. Get out there and get to know who represents you. Get to know your GOP. A lot of students don't know this, but there's an organization here in Lubbock that's Republican. There's a scholarship that we give to members of Tech College Republicans through them. And that's one thing that's available to them. We have a student, she applied for it, and she'll probably get it. And Tech students don't know that exists. Dr. John Thomas and Carrie Thomas, Operation Hope Gala. They technically gave us $8,000 in support split between YCT wow. and TCR, and we got to take students to meet James O'Keefe and get a lot of insider information. We got to meet the chair of the Texas Republican Party, Abraham George. There were so many people were there that night. It was free for the students because of the networking that we have put in, the boots on the ground work that we're doing here in Lubbock. Even this last event we went to, free to students. All we had to do was a little bit of volunteer work, help clean up. Did it take a little bit? Yeah, it's volunteer work. It's going to take a little bit, but it's not hard. And they really appreciate when they don't have to put hours and hours into cleaning up and getting people involved, because the younger generation, they want to take action. They want to prove themselves. And they want something to hold on to. They want people that are serious about getting involved, and that directly aligns with the people in office. If you're not serious, it's not for you. But if you are serious, they're watching what you do and how you move. And if you're willing to put in time for them, they're willing to make time for you. And I think that's really important for students to understand, especially when it comes to accessing opportunities like you just mentioned.
You definitely said it best, Kevin. And I think that's a perfect note to end on.
All right. Well, thank you once again, Andrew Sinclair, for taking time to ride right with the Raiders. It's been a pleasure getting to speak with you. I'm looking forward to having you back here in Lubbock for what little time you'll be here. I wish you the best on your political endeavors and your job search. Don't get bit by your false water cobra.
Hopefully next time you come in, we'll actually have our own studio and have it decent enough that we'll actually have our own studio. That's our biggest struggle right now.
That is definitely in the works, but we'll get there.
Yep. It's a work in progress. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys so much for having me. This was a great conversation, and hopefully it'll inspire some people to get involved on campus.
All right. Thank you all for listening to us. And once again, I'm Kevin Allen.
And I'm Caleb Jensen.
And thank you for riding right with the Raiders.
God bless America and God bless Texas.
Raider power.
Reckon.